Welcome to the Heart of Dating podcast. Hey, it's Kate. I'm so glad you could join us this week as we try to untangle the ever so ambiguous world of dating as a Christian. Over here on Heart of Dating, we get real as we answer some tough questions and uncover transformative ways to approach Christian dating. Oh, and you better believe we have some laughs along the way, because last time I checked, the struggle is hashtag real. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Hey, hey, y'all. It's your friend Kate here. You're listening to the Heart of Dating podcast, and I want you to know I'm so glad you are here today. I hope whatever season you are in, whether you are single, dating, engaged, or married, that you just feel so loved right now. Now, before we get into our stellar episode for today, I just have a few announcements. First, I would love for y'all to come join our Instagram fam over at Heart of Dating. We have so much fun connecting with you guys. Now, here's the one catch. If you like what you hear on today's episode, would you do us a favor and screenshot your screen and share it on your Insta stories? We'd appreciate it so much. It helps us to get these episodes into even more ears. Also, don't forget about our new private Facebook community. Heyo! I'd love to invite you to join us because we have been having the most amazing conversations. So here's how you join. First, you're going to go to the Heart of Dating Facebook at facebook.com/heartofdating. Now, before even joining the group, I'd love to just invite you to go ahead and like our Facebook page over there. Then after that, you can hit the groups on the left-hand side and request to join the Heart of Dating podcast community. Y'all, we created this for you so you can have a space to share what your struggles are, because we know you have a lot of them, and also just feel empowered and encouraged with like-minded men and women around you that are there to support you. So just come on over and join us. We have so much fun. Now, the last thing I want to encourage you today is to write us a review here on iTunes. We share these reviews weekly on our Instagram, and trust me, it helps us in this process of being more discovered and spreading the word. Not to mention, it just makes me smile, so it would mean the world to me. Okay, friends, let's get into it today, shall we? Now, I think as individuals in dating, it is incredibly important for us to learn from stellar married couples. So today, I had the true joy of bringing on marriage experts Ryan and Selena Frederick. They are really and truly the marriage dream team, y'all. Trust me. Together, they have an incredible platform called Fierce Marriage, which is a place to truly process the trials of marriage and celebrate its joys, all rooted in Christ-centeredness. Under Fierce Marriage, they have a blog, an amazing Instagram, an incredible podcast, and tons of resources and books for couples. One thing I love about them so much is that they are so deeply in love with Jesus, and they just bring the truth. So today, I wanted to bring them on to talk about all things faith and relationship and why it's so important. Y'all ask me questions all the time like, well, what if the person I like's walk is not as far as mine? Or can we pray together? How do I incorporate spiritual intimacy healthily? So y'all, Ryan and Selena lay it all down today in this rich and practical episode that is filled with nuggets. I just know you're going to enjoy it, so I want to go ahead and dive right on into this amazing conversation with Ryan and Selena. Ryan and Selena, hey guys, welcome to Heart of Dating podcast.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having us.
Yes, happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have y'all. I mean, today is an awesome day because we don't have a ton of couples on, and I love when we get the opportunity to have true couples on that are just thriving in their marriage. And y'all are truly, honest to goodness, the kind of like the marriage dream team, if I'm being honest, because you are such amazing, incredible human beings, but you also run a widely popular marriage podcast, right, called Fierce Marriage, which is incredible. I'm like, yes.
good.
And you are authors and speakers. You guys do so many things with the topic of marriage. So it's just an honor to have you guys on to share your wisdom with all of us Christian daters today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We don't get to talk about dating very often.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago when we dated. Mm-hmm. And so we have to kind of brush, I guess, brush up a little bit and dig deep into the brain archive.
Yeah, but we're happy to be here because I feel like you have a very clear handle on what the dating scene looks like in 2019.
2019. Yes. We're gonna marry. I was just gonna say we're gonna marry both the current single 2019 person plus the fiercely married couple. Let's just marry those two bring the wisdom in together, right? Let's just use all these funny terms. But the cool part is when, like, there's so many concepts from marriage that actually apply to dating. And I find that, like, the more we can actually learn from that, we could actually be much better daters if we learn from people who are doing it right in marriage. So that's why I have every confidence in the world that you guys are just going to bring it with such incredible wisdom today.
Hopefully. We don't know everything, but we promise to share what we do know, whatever that is.
So you guys, your platform is called Fierce Marriage. And so I'm kind of curious to start off our conversation. What would you guys think are the elements of fierce dating?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And something that I think it's good for us to think through. And I mean, if you've listened to our podcast and it sounds like, you know, you listen to a few episodes and, you know, folks who may have heard of us or found our blog or whatever, I think the first message that comes across is the Christ-centeredness of it. And so we, Celine and I have this kind of inside joke. It's not so inside anymore. We say it a lot more outwardly, in that we love talking about marriage because it's just an excuse to talk about the gospel. It's just an excuse to present Jesus to people because you have this, and it's the same with dating, because you have this topic that people really care about and it creates this kind of like wedge in the door to talk about the big important things of life. So as you ask this question of what's a fierce dating relationship look like, I think the first thing is Christ-centeredness.
Yeah.
Meaning that you know this, I'm sure you've used this in your podcast as well, as the whole unequally yoked thing, right? Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that you're not just individually focused on Christ. That's an important thing, but together you need to have that as kind of your common ambition, is to be centered on Christ. Mm. And then from there, I think the other things kind of naturally cascade down. So the second one I would say is a biblical view or biblical expectations of where that relationship is headed. In other words, what is the end game, right? If you're just dating for, I don't think it's biblical to date someone just for short-term fun, right? I don't think that's a biblical approach to a human male-female relationship. I think that's a worldly approach, right? So you'd want to have a good expectation of where that relationship is headed.
Which I will interrupt when you were 15, 16, talking about dating, even at a young age. He was very... His words to me in our DTR talk were, where I wouldn't date anybody that I wouldn't consider marrying. And I was like,
intense guy.
You're like, we're really young. And those are some big words to use right now.
Yes. But I was also grateful because I was like, you know, I feel the same. And so I don't, not that we're getting married tomorrow, but, you know, I'm not in the mindset of let's just date and play and do whatever. Yep. You know, this is an investment here.
That's interesting because looking back, I just knew that you were a quality person. I knew that you loved Jesus and I liked you. Like I thought you were physically attractive. I loved hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, of course, like, why wouldn't I think marriage is on the table at some point? Mm-hmm. I think the only reason you would take that off the table is whether or not you realize it or not, and I'm not trying to paint with too broad a brush, but I think if you are afraid of putting marriage on the table, I think there's bigger issues. Like you view relationships with a different end in mind, right? Or you have a selfish motivation, right? So,
Like what can I just consume from this relationship and how can it add value? Or I might feel lonely. So this is a way to make me not feel lonely for a season, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's really intense to say like you have to be headed to marriage before you start dating somebody. I'm just saying like, if you realize that you're with somebody that you really care about, I think the only logical progression and a fierce way to go about that is to say, okay, do I really see myself spending the rest of my life with this person? If the big stones are in place, you know, they share the same faith, they have the same ambition of just knowing Jesus more, then I think that can be.
Well, and I like how you said it, Kate. You just, you know, if we tend to enter relationships, dating and married, very selfish, right? Yeah. And we have these desires that we don't want to be alone, or we want to have somebody to go have a good time with and hang out with. Those same battles sort of show their heads in marriage as well. The selfishness about us doesn't go away.
Right.
If anything, I think it gets worse when you walk into marriage.
Totally.
So I think, I mean, you hit the nail on the head saying that, you know, entering part of fierce dating really is kind of somewhat, are you look at your motives, and yes, there should be a part of you that wants to be with that person. But if they're fulfilling a role that maybe God is saying, no, I want that role. I want to be sufficient for you. I want to be enough for you. Then that's kind of where I think you have to filter through some stuff as well.
Just to polish up that question, because there's two other pieces. So the Christ-centeredness, I think, the biblical view and expectation of where that relationship should go, namely marriage, is the construct we're given for male-female relationships. The third one, and I think this is so important, and it's just community. You have to have, don't be married on an island, or sorry, don't date on an island.
Yes. Right? People, I just had a conversation with someone who's like, sometimes that happens, and this term submarining, you like get into a relationship, then you go under the water, and nobody, you're just peeking your little whatever binocular thing outside at the top of the water, but you're actually underneath, and you're not in community, and you're just infatuated, and let's be all into each other, and there's nothing good that comes from that.
No. We can all kind of recite stories where we've seen that in our own relationships with people that we know. And you're right. It does. I think it does.
I like that submarine. Submarining.
The submarining.
And then finally, you know, in a world, I think, where morality is considered to be kind of relative, I would say I would fight that and say, okay, where do we stand in terms of God's word and his moral view of how we're to behave in these relationships? So the fourth piece to that, a fierce dating relationship, I would say to have a plan for integrity, meaning that get on the same page about where your lines are drawn, be very wise about drawing those lines, draw those lines in community, ask people to bear weight on your relationship. If they see something going sideways, ask for guys, ask other men, for women, ask other women, as a couple dating, ask married couples to kind of have a say into the integrity, the character integrity of your relationship, because, you know, I think a lot of times the view is that God doesn't want us to have sex before we get married just because he's mean, right? And that's not the case.
Exactly. Like
God knows that sex is designed for within marriage, and that's how you can flourish more. So you have to be on that same page. Otherwise, you know, I know even when we were in high school dating, that was the hardest part of it, is just not losing ourselves.
Oh, totally. I mean, there you go. I mean, and young, and then when you're older too, like I talk to so many people and that, you know, are later in life. I'm not old, but I'm older. And like so many friends are in their 30s and it's like, okay, God, am I still single? Am I still having these boundaries? You know, and there's a lot of weariness that can happen. And just coming back to really being, what I always tell people is you need to be on the same page with whoever you're with. Like get that out there. Don't have that boundary talk like a few months in, like get that pretty early in and get on the same page. If this person is not on your same page, then it's probably not going to go. And that's a value thing, in my opinion. Right. So it's like, you got to be aligned in what everything that you guys are saying is in your values, and the boundaries and sexual boundaries is a value you both need to share and be on the same page about.
And it's a wonderful thing, because eventually when those floodgates do spring open, if you end up getting married, you've honored each other all the way there.
That's good.
You have all that, you know, all the fun is still to be had, and it's all going to be so much better because you've already shown that you love each other in a way that's deeper than just what can you give me sexually.
Exactly. So a huge element, obviously, the first element that you guys kind of brought up is the God-centeredness, right? The Christ-centeredness of the relationship, both as individuals and together in the relationship. And this is a question that kind of comes up so much. Even though this is a Christian dating podcast, a lot of people still ask, like, okay, do I have to be equally yoked? What if this person's less spiritually along than I am? Blah, blah, blah. And so I just kind of want to talk about that today, even in more depth. Like, why is faith so important in dating? And also, like, why is that so important eventually, obviously, in marriage too? What can you guys say on that to just share with us or anybody questioning why that's important?
That's a big question.
Yeah, it's kind of like a boom.
It's great as you're talking about it. Just all of these answers and ideas are flooding in my head, because it is just such a big, a big question. And some, you know, I think sometimes we tend to put faith, in this, you know, collection of things that we do, and we want to just have it a part of us so we can have a good life and that kind of thing. And I guess I would lovingly challenge listeners, if that's how you think about faith and any type of moral stance or values, I would challenge you to maybe take a different perspective and say, what about God or faith? Why could it be more, how could it be more encompassing in my life? Right. You know, not just kind of a check on the box, good, but, yeah. How can he become more of the center? Because I mean, it's, I don't know. He's all encompassing we understand.
You know, I think the tendency and what you're articulating, I think is the tendency is that it's compartmentalized, yeah. Right?
Yes.
I've got my career, I've got my party life, my friend right. life, I've got my faith life, mm-hmm. I've got my exercise, my health life, right?
Dating life,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're all compartmentalized. And that is not like, that is a last 100 years or less. That's where that perspective has come mm-hmm. into play.
It's definitely evolved, yeah.
Up until like, I'd say like the early 1900s. Right. We see that the Industrial mm-hmm. Revolution and all this kind of stuff taking place, that there was a lot culturally that was transforming mm. in the West.
Yeah.
And up until that point, like, it was unfathomable to think that A, God didn't exist. Right.
Yeah.
And B, that the implications of that wouldn't bear weight on every avenue of my life. Mm. Right. So if we actually believe, I mean, think about it. I mean, we ask, how does our faith bear weight on our dating life? I think the better question is, how doesn't it,
yeah.
right? How doesn't it bear weight? Because if we think about what we're actually asking, that's a brilliant question, because it really does get under the skin, I think, mm-hmm. of a culture, and it gets a little bit deeper, is that if we really believe, we call ourselves Christians, we believe that God is the God of the universe, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, mm-hmm. that Jesus was God in the flesh, fully human, fully God at the same time, that he actually walked the earth, mm-hmm. he actually died this death, and he actually came back to life and ascended. If we actually believe that stuff, mm-hmm. then how could it not affect every avenue of how I live my life day to day, in terms
yes.
of, I mean, your joy, in terms of coping with mm-hmm. yeah. hardship.
Well, and being, excuse me, being rooted in your identity in Christ.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
If we don't understand, you know, the weight of our sin and the grace and the depth of yeah. his love and salvation for us. He pursued us. We brought nothing but sin to the table, and he, in his love, pursued us, which is, again, another beautiful illustration of marriage and relationship.
Oh, yeah.
But right. knowing that he pursues us transforms everything. You know, it's not so much based on us living this great life. It's more of, He loved me and he pursued mm. me. And out of that, my heart responds, my life responds, my choices respond.
Yeah. And Kate, you nailed it. When I think we were talking beforehand,
yeah.
you said one of your goals is to encourage daters mm. to leave people better than when you found them.
Yeah.
So good.
Like yeah. that's a gospel perspective.
Yeah.
When
yes.
you see somebody with eternal value and they're a son or a daughter of the king, you know, mm-hmm. and that they're your brother or sister in Christ, then yeah. your motivation in loving them is completely different with that view in mind, that you want to help them to the end of being closer to Jesus, not just getting what you want from mm-hmm. them, harvesting what you want
yeah.
from that relationship and then moving on.
Exactly.
The long and the short, I think, is just faith changes everything. Jesus changes everything.
Everything.
I
love
it. Dive in more, friend. Mm-hmm. Dive in more.
And I could not agree with you guys more. And that's why I'm so grateful just to have you guys say all that, because it's so profound. It's like faith is the basis of it. Like, we can't, I mean, I don't encourage people at all to be in relationships where you don't hold these same values. I will not be good. You won't have a shared mission. You will be expecting things from someone else that they're never going to be able to give you, you know? And so people ask, but I'm so worn out. I'm so weary. All the Christian people I date are just like, meh. And so maybe dating other people who are someone who is less further along in their faith is better for me. And I'm like, no, honestly, it's not. It's really not. And I understand the weariness and I understand the struggle. I'm still a single woman myself, but it is like, do you not believe that God will like bless you in your life? And how rewarding can your single life even be, just as you are now? We get lost in the weariness, I think.
Yeah.
But don't settle for a relationship that is not truly centered in Christ, where your values align, where you will selflessly love one another so mm-hmm. fiercely. I'm just going to keep using that word, but fiercely and selflessly love one another for the glory of the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
So you guys just like nailed it. I'm like, yes, 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 and amen. So let's keep going on this topic, because there's a lot of areas that like faith can affect us in dating, other than like, it has to be the foundation. We just got that like really in there, but you know, sometimes people don't really know, and I get this a lot, but it's sometimes hard to find out if someone is truly a follower of Jesus or just someone who claims to be a believer, right? And so I kind of find that there's a difference in that, because someone can go to church and, you know, walk the walk in some ways, but they may not truly be following Christ, surrendered to his whole will, mind, body, soul, spirit, right? And so how do we kind of go about in dating testing that? Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you made an important distinction, I think, between a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, and a believer. I think those are essentially, I think at their root, they're two different things, right? Mm-hmm. We use the word Christian, we throw it around, but what a Christian is somebody who follows Christ. It's not just the way you grew up, right?
Exactly. So, you can check Christian on a box for religious preference. Yes. So many people can, right?
Yes, and Jesus said that even, you know, demons believe in him and shudder, right? Yeah. And and so that should be a warning to us. Like, that's, we can say, I believe that Jesus existed. I believe that God is real. I believe that the Bible's true. But you know what, that I think there has to be a fruit.
Well, the aspect of faith and actions. And
So James, I mean, if you read James, it will mess with you, right? Because he's like, faith without works is dead.
Yep.
Is he saying that we have a legalistic faith? No, he's saying if you have a real genuine faith, then it's going to be inevitable that there's fruit on your tree.
Yes.
Right. So we in our culture, Instagram culture, you know, social media, just everyone's highlight reel all the time.
Yeah.
The tendency is we want the fruit without the roots, right?
Ooh,
so we want to just staple the fruit onto the branches and say, hey, look at the fruit I got. And what happens is that fruit starts to rot, right? Mm. It eventually just starts to rot. It's not true fruit. It's manufactured.
Mm.
So for a while you can kind of maintain behavior. So if you're in a new relationship, I'll just talk from a guy's perspective.
Yeah.
You're dating this girl and she, you know, you met her somewhere, maybe through a friend, and you know, she's a Christian, but then you see like after 2 or 3 months into it, you realize that she's, you know, doesn't have the same value set that you have. And that fruit that you saw at first, where she might've been on her best behavior, this goes both ways, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You start to see that kind of fall apart because it's not true. It's not true fruit. So the easiest answer to your question is look at the fruit, look at the type of life they're living. You know, and I think there's deep ways to tell. There's also really shallow ways to tell. You kind of look for the deep ways. You know, it's not just, are they rough around the edges, right?
Because you were rough around the edges.
I was pretty rough around the edges. I was.
But then I started noticing what was inside.
Yeah.
Through various high school experiences. But
I love that.
It's different now. Yeah.
Well, and that's so good too, because obviously I never say like, you're never going to marry someone perfect. We're always works in process. But the clear thing is to like, when a moment happens, when brokenness arises or conflict arises, like how does that person respond? I think it's a better indicator than if the conflict happens. It's like how the other person responds. And I'm just using conflict as an example, because it shows the humbleness of their heart. It shows their ability to be slow to anger and to listen and to be more selfless in their love, right? I'm not as concerned if the conflict happens or what is underneath that? How does that person handle, and how do they seek growth and confess their sins, right? Because I feel like even conflict is in the example. It's like the conflict is going to happen, but how do you handle it? How does, what is the things underneath it? If you see some brokenness in someone else's life, like how are they responding to that?
Yeah. And I think the only thing I might add to that, is just how do they respond over a period of time, even?
Good.
Because I think, you know, when we're dating and we've got rose-colored glasses, we're like, oh, yeah, I want to be generous. I want to show this person I'm generous, or I'm thoughtful or whatever. But, you know, over time, those things obviously can, your default sort of starts to kick in, right? We maybe lose our thoughtfulness or our intentionality. Hello, marriage. but I would just say, how is the response? Is it waning over time, or is it growing over time, or is it even sustaining? Like, that would be my only, I guess, little addition there.
Yeah, that's good. I love the analogy of fruit. I'm going to use it again.
Yes.
a fruit can look pretty good on the outside and still be rotten on the inside. So yeah, you're totally right. When you squeeze it, what's going to come out, right? And that's what the substance of it. And so the trick is with dating, and maybe I'll leave it at this, is that sometimes you don't necessarily see the full squeeze.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Until you get married.
Yeah.
It's then you are living face to face day to day.
And then you need more of Jesus.
And you squeeze harder.
And then it's more of that sanctification. You're like, okay, bring on the refinement. Here we go.
Exactly.
I'm saying from what I expect. I don't know yet, but
hit the head on the nail.
So, okay.
Nail the head.
Nail the head in the whatever. Friends, I want to take a quick pause in today's episode to tell you about something I am so excited about. I just want to say that I know the struggle is real with dating in our current culture. It can be murky and confusing and sometimes just so frustrating. Do you ever feel like you have no idea what you're doing? Or that you keep trying and failing? Or that you just don't know how to handle hard situations or conversations with people? Or maybe you just feel stuck in a dating wasteland with no good potentials? Whew, I get it, and I have felt a ton of those exact same things. Now, a huge issue when it comes to dating is that we don't have a ton of great resources out there for guidance. The Bible doesn't talk about dating because it didn't exist at the time. And now, today, about 50% of the church in the U.S. is single, and even that number is growing. So the problem is that we need resources. I get it. I get all your frustrating feelings. So I have made it a goal of mine to research and talk to pastors and watch videos and read as many books as I can just so that I can be equipped to do this podcast as well as go into my own dating life with the best and sharpest possible tools. And I have exciting news today. I have compiled all of my favorite dating resources and created a free resource guide for you so you don't have to scour for all the best things to read or watch anymore. It is called The 7 Resources to Change the Dating Game. I truly believe that this guide will help you navigate this journey with clarity and intention. It is going to help you to sharpen the tools in your toolbox and get out there and date amazingly. You can grab this free resource by visiting heartofdating.com/7resources. That is heartofdating.com/7resources. I am so excited for you guys to get your hands on this incredible free resource. Okay, so in this too, in the same kind of vein, there's a lot of people that are like, okay, well, spiritual leader. I want a spiritual leader. I want someone, blah, blah, blah. Especially, I think, you know, not just to make it gender specific, but there, we can both be in ways spiritual leaders. But what does that truly look like? How should we be also looking for that? Because that also is like a little bit obviously different than just the basis of if they are a follower of Jesus. But how do we kind of search out and figure out who might be have the characteristics of being a spiritual leader?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Speaking from our relationship, when we were dating and young, Ryan was pretty quiet and shy and reserved when I first met him. Mm-hmm. And that he's an introverted extrovert, I think maybe. He can be extroverted, but he's very much an introvert on many levels.
Just faking it all the time.
No, he's become way more extroverted and I love it. But when I started seeing him speak up for things and started seeing him step out, especially against what wasn't popular or what wasn't ideal for, I don't know, the situation we were in, mm-hmm. That kind of sent my heart and my mind thinking, wow, he's able to kind of stand up for what he believes in and in a way that is disarming. He's a very disarming person.
Mm-hmm.
And then he could also lovingly, you know, shed light on the correct perspective maybe, or, hey, I know we don't agree on this, but this is kind of where I'm headed. This is where I've been and this is my experience. And how do you see this through that? Like he's able to have a hard conversation with people and he doesn't back down and he's not afraid to do that. And I think for me, that was some of the spiritual leaderness, leader characteristics that I was looking for, but couldn't yet like say or vote. I don't know
how verbalize
it.
I think if you're looking at dating somebody, right, and you can see obviously their fruit and you see kind of the things they do, but I think it's also about who they are and what who they're becoming and the way that they are, right? I don't want to say the way that they be.
The way that they be. We just
look at the way they are. So, I mean, I'm thinking from a father's standpoint, from a husband's standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, every guy will hope, you know, at some point, God willing, get to both of those stages. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I lead my family best when I am being the person that God, not just doing what he's telling me to do, mm-hmm. not just doing and obeying God's word, that's important, but being a disciple of Christ. So
maybe that's what I was seeing, was you, I'm just trying to label as the being, because you definitely were being, but right. that showed itself in what you did.
Right. Mm-hmm. So tangibly how that yeah. might look is, you know, so I'm thinking specifically the roles, you know, headship versus, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, in a marriage. So mm-hmm. a husband's role, a biblical role in that sense, in that, am I loving my wife with compassion? Am mm-hmm. I showing her compassion? I think that's one of the more compelling ways to lead a family yeah. is with compassion, is identifying and having empathy and walking alongside, but also having emotional maturity to not just always be reactive, but be on the offensive, be proactive with how you love your spouse, how you love your kids. So I think in the dating relationship, I think you can identify pretty quick if a guy, I'm just going to speak to guys, like if a guy's mm-hmm. just kind of glossed over, right? If he just, you can't seem to connect because he's so worried about all these other things and not really, you know, it's like he's never listening, or he's yeah. not responding in a way that's yeah. empathetic or very quick to judge or to make conclusions or to be too logical without actually, you know, some of that stuff comes with time.
Yep.
Right. So you can't have too high, you can't expect this guy to be perfectly mature, but you can mm-hmm. see kind of a sense of the Holy Spirit's work in him, I think is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And the surrender to it. And what I always tell people, they're like, I'm looking for a spiritual leader. I'm like, well, not every person you have to date is going to be a pastor. So there's ways yeah. to be a leader, that a spiritual, quote unquote, spiritual leader, that are exactly what you're defining right now, through that empathy, through that compassion, through how you respond to situations, how you're committed to growth. That doesn't just mean like they are the pastor or they are the leader of the Bible study consistently all the time. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's great if they are, but that it's spiritual leadership doesn't have to just be those things. I kind of, mm-hmm. I'm like, we can all be a spiritual leader in that way without, right. I mean, without being yes. the pastor.
Yes. Yes. Thank God.
Yeah. Well said. Like, well, cause that's like a lot of things. They're like, I want them to be a spiritual leader. I'm like, well, what exactly is your expectation in that? What does that look like? Let's break it down. So I kind of wanted to right. ask you guys. So,
that's good.
Okay. So then transitioning that into just talking more about the spiritualness in relationship, even if that is a word, I don't think it is, but a word that gets thrown around a lot is spiritual intimacy. And now we have obviously many different kinds of intimacy in relationship, but I want to kind of break down what do you guys think, or how can you define spiritual intimacy for us?
Yeah, that's a really good topic for a dating couple to think through, because yeah. It's everything. Like, so it comes back to that unity of, are we actually headed toward the same horizon?
Yeah.
Right. So there is kind of a difference between a dating relationship and a marriage relationship, in terms of there's something that happens when you officially, and before witnesses and before God, say, we're going to put this into the way God designed their relationship mm-hmm. to be, AKA covenantal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a deeper spiritual intimacy that kind of awakens at that point, that, and especially with physical intimacy, it comes with that.
Yep.
But spiritual intimacy in particular, I think, is just honestly like drinking of the good things of God and celebrating mm-hmm. the good things of God together. So one of the most intimate things that we do, Selena and I, is we take communion at church every week together, and we mm-hmm. stand up and we take communion and we pray, and it's a celebration, but it's also a reminder of our need for Jesus, but it's a celebration that our need has been met.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we'll pray and talk through kind of our weekly struggles. And there's been many where like we're crying, cause we're just like, we realized after worshiping and after hearing the word, we realize that we're really just broken and we need more of Jesus. And that communion is exactly like, it's a representation of that. So
that's beautiful.
I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but
no, you're giving us the example of what that can look like. So yeah.
Yeah. So tangibly, what can that look like? I think just, I said, drinking of the things of God. Mm-hmm. So like reading God's word, praying, being in community.
Yeah.
Those are all, I think, spiritual acts, spiritual mm-hmm. things. And so finding unity around those things will inevitably bring intimacy. Now, I think intimacy it's limited in the dating relationship.
Right. That's what I just was going to ask. Like, how can we appropriately incorporate some levels of spiritual intimacy in this process of dating? And I know there's some people have mixed thoughts on this. So, you know, I don't ever say there's like one end all be all, but I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on how to incorporate that in dating healthily.
I think, you know, part of it is being in community, right? Mm-hmm. Having people have a green light into your relationship and saying, and you guys going through that, like, hey, how do you think it's okay for us to like to pray together? Which more times than not, I think that's probably a green light, you know, hey, is it good that we, is it okay if we read the Bible together? Yeah. Awesome. You're learning about God's word together.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that kind of grows as your relationship grows over time. As far as like spiritual intimacy as a married couple, I think there just are some things that we experience on a spiritual level more deeply when we're married. And I'm not sure I can like outline that specifically as to like, you can't go here in your Bible or something, like don't read Song of Solomon together, you know? Like,
yeah, like don't that. Read Song of Solomon.
No, I mean, I think I would probably wait, you know, maybe not read that together. That's kind of weird, but I think just remembering too that what prayer is and talking about God's word and even talking about sermons together, that maybe if you go to the same church and you're talking about, you know, different ideas and thoughts around those, I think that's okay. And I guess it depends on where you're at in your dating relationship, right? You're not, you may not talk about all this stuff in the first two dates. Maybe you do. Jump right in.
Yeah. I think it's important to look at your motives too for going. And cause I remember whenever we were in high school and then
you
in
just
college,
want to talk about Jesus so you can pull my hand or kiss me.
Yeah. Well, praying the laying on of hands.
See, I'm not allowed to do anything, but I can lay my hand on your back or your shoulder when we pray. So this is my physical intimacy.
Oh, you prayed a lot.
Oh my gosh. A lot of prayer. You're like, that's why. Wow. That's my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, motivations. Because we talked about this headship thing, we talked about the spiritual leadership thing, and now we're talking about spiritual intimacy. So it's like, I think, I not every guy's like this, but I think it's easy to get a motive where you're like, okay, I want access to this person because I care about her. And whether you realize it or not, it can become kind of a manipulative thing. Like, and spiritual intimacy is.
And for a wife or for a woman, sorry, on the other side of it is when you feel sort of that emotional, spiritual intimacy, you seem more willing to kind of maybe let your guard down.
True.
Or
I would just guard against that connection going too far, because a lot of times it is such a deep thing that it kind of blurs the lines between spiritual intimacy and emotional intimacy where you shouldn't go, and like physical intimacy where you shouldn't be going or headed.
Yep.
And you end up in these situations where you're in your car late at night talking about the sermon and before you know it, you're like kissing, and before you know it, you're leading in, you know, and you're really
doing other things.
And
yep.
Turned on the Barry White soundtrack.
Oh, Barry White. I don't know. 2019. I'm not sure about that, Ryan. Okay. Maybe like John Legend. I don't know. Oh, Barry White.
John Legend.
I don't know. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just like making it up.
John Legend won't help in this case. He's very overt. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. It is true. Like it's gotta be a gradual thing. I think just be wary of how much you're incorporating it too early, because that can lead to those other intimacies, like you're saying, especially physical. Yeah. When you feel connected to someone spiritually, you're like, oh, this is such a beautiful thing. But like late at night in your car, like on the couch, like something else is going to potentially could happen if you're, engaging too deep at certain moments.
And if we're honest, like physical intimacy is a spiritual act, right? Yeah. So there's a reason why. There's a reason why when we awaken these things, like they're enjoyable, right?
Yeah.
And a spiritual intimacy I feel like they're so closely intertwined. Mm. I won't say they're the same, but they're intertwined for sure.
Mm.
And so, yeah, just be on guard with that kind of stuff. But I think especially if you know you're headed toward marriage, because then it starts to feel like you have
we're probably
green
gonna
lights,
get
but they're
married
not green
anyways.
Lights.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. Okay, so something I think, Selena, you said is also just praying together and like prayer life in general. A lot of questions about this always, but how much prayer is too much? Like, is it okay to pray for your partner? Can we do this together? How much should we do it together versus on our own? Like these things, and I never say there's one set rule for all of this, but just curious on your guys' thoughts of like, how can we pray together, if at all, in dating?
No, that's a great question. I think praying together for each other individually is maybe a safer way to go instead of praying for like, God, I pray that our connection would be deeper. You know,
yes,
I think
yes.
those are kind of words that might be reserved for marriage. I'm thinking more along the lines of, you know, maybe your boyfriend is struggling at work or something, mm-hmm. and you say, hey, let's pray about this. Like, God, help him to, you know, walk through the circumstance and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, for the woman, if, and not like super deep issues, maybe, you know, maybe nothing too physical or anything like that, but just,
yeah,
you know, trying to keep the purity there as well as kind of the individuality, because you really aren't one yet.
Right.
In a sense. That's so good. I guess that would be kind of my go-to prayer.
Yeah, that's, I'm going to piggyback on that, because okay. if you're praying for like your future kids, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm not, but yeah. that, I mean, if you're headed toward marriage, you're engaged or whatever, yeah. then okay. But
no, that's good.
Or like you're praying for mm-hmm. your life together, but you don't have a life together. Or you're, right. You know, and so you're not, if you're not living together, like don't live together spiritually mm-hmm. in that same, you know, in kind of that analogous sense that you might. Mm-hmm. So I think there are some boundaries there, but it's like on a podcast like this, we can't be like, hey, pray these words, but not these words.
Yes.
Pray this topic, but not this topic. I think that would be kind of foolish. I think the listeners really do have to use the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. will allow you to discern and use that discernment and make wise choices. I think that's where the self-discipline comes in.
Right.
But it's very nuanced for sure.
I love it. So we've like just established like, yes, prayer is good. But there's so much of prayer that we can also do on our own, right? So that's like another element, just to encourage people, like, definitely be praying about your relationship, be praying about it in your community and on your own as well. Like, that is so important. And then incorporating some levels of it potentially together in dating more so, but less so like, God, would you bring us to marriage? Like together, like the other person's like, okay. Yeah. It's like, wait, what is happening right now? Pray that on your own, you know, separate. Yeah. Right. Okay. And something in this, like just a spiritual intimacy, growing in spiritualness. I don't know. I'm using that word. Don't even know if it's a word, but earlier last year, I had an incredible guest called John Tyson. He's a pastor, Church of the City in New York. And he said something profound during our interview that has stuck with me ever since then, and that I've kind of used as a mantra. And he kind of charged all dating or single people to cultivate holy ambition in your life as a single, basically meaning that we should be using our single and dating lives to glorify God, to right. do amazing things. And so I ultimately truly believe that there are ways that we can incorporate spiritual intimacy as a single or I guess mm-hmm. spiritual yeah. disciplines. And I've heard y'all talk about this before, and I think it is so incredible, because if we know and we can talk through like what spiritual disciplines we should be incorporating as singles, those kinds of habits, those disciplines, right, will set us up for the best kind of marriage. So instead of just like, oh, now we're married and now we should incorporate disciplines. No, it shouldn't be that way, right?
Right.
We should be coming to the table with it. So what kind of spiritual disciplines do you guys recommend for us to be able to that cultivate that holy ambition?
Yeah, that's really cool. First off, you know, being a single person, you're not half a person, right? I think that's really important
so good.
To recognize that you're not incomplete. You have been made complete in Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously Jesus was single, Paul was single, right? So I'm sure your audience is aware of that. And I just don't want to forget that the call to singlehood is real, and or to singleness is real, but and it's also potent. It does require a different kind of cross that you have to bear.
Well, and I want to jump in real quick, because you talked earlier in our conversation about, you know, the blessing of marriage.
Mm.
And I also wanted to say, I feel like God lately has been teaching me about the word blessing. Mm. Because we so easily want to just stamp our blessing on this, right? We want to get this blessing from the Lord. And blessing can bring so many, it has a lot of connotation, like ease and comfort and, you know, make our life better kind of thing. But and I need to do more of a theological like research on this, but whenever I've experienced blessing in my life, it has added to my workload. It takes more work in a good way, because I'm being sanctified through that blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I want to say both marriage and singleness are a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
They bear different crosses. There's different burdens. There's different ways in which we are sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
But the blessing is still the same.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you made that little sidebar because, blessings aren't always easy, but they're always good, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the distinction that you're trying to make. There's a book out called Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. It's by one of my favorite authors, Donald Whitney.
Ooh,
He's an incredible author. But you asked about spiritual disciplines.
Yeah.
And, so as a single person, I think the best spiritual discipline that you can have, if you just had to pick one, it would be cultivating a passion and a hunger for God's word and learning to study it. And so I think there's three ways in my personal devotions. And I think in general, I think there's three ways that you can really approach God's word and study God's word. And the first one is memorize scripture. I think that's a discipline that is underrated, undervalued these days.
Yeah.
Memorize it, get it locked into your heart, and use it for your life.
Yes.
The second one is read for volume. So just try to get the narrative of the Bible into your guts, right? Just read it, get it from front to back, understand the overarching, you know, the themes, the covenantal theme, the theme of Christ on every page. He really is on every page.
Yeah.
And understand that. So you just get it in you. And then the third way is to study passages. So I took, I think, four or five verses out of Colossians this morning or yesterday morning. And just line by line, like, what does it mean to say that Christ is preeminent? What does that mean? That's what that's what Colossians 1 is talking about. So I went through that line by line, and that cultivated a different sort of heart knowledge that I don't get just by glossing over it.
Yeah.
So get into God's word. I think another clear one is prayer, like having a disciplined prayer life. Again, all these things are not, and this is important, is our tendency is to white knuckle these things and act like, okay, I want God's approval. I want what God has for me. So I'm going to do the things that get that kind of, that crack.
Like
that
a checklist.
Code. We call it jackpot Jesus.
Okay. Yes.
He's not a slot machine, right? these things are not prescriptions of a Christian life. They're descriptions of a Christian life. So when Christ has a hold of your heart and the Holy Spirit has done a transformative work in you, He's going to create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. He's going to create a hunger for God's word. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to us to take what the Holy Spirit's given us, the fruit of the Spirit, self-discipline, and say, I'm not going to watch Netflix for 3 hours tonight. I'm going to spend maybe an hour reading God's word instead of 3 hours. And I'll do 2 hours of Netflix, right?
Yes.
Or instead of sleeping into the very last minute, I'll get up 30 minutes ahead of time, make some coffee, pray, journal, read the word, you know, those sorts of things. One thing that's really been helpful for me, I apologize. Cut me off. I go too long. I could talk.
No, I love it. No, this is great. I'm like, I'm learning from this. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I need to do more of that.
I think one thing that we definitely underrate on our Western culture is the idea of fasting, right? And so fasting is a discipline, and it's not, and it's, again, it's a description of something, of a change. So one thing I did for a little while for a season is I did every Wednesday, and this isn't to brag, it's just to say that it was very transformative. Every Wednesday I would fast just the morning two meals. So I wouldn't eat breakfast, I wouldn't eat lunch. And even in the evenings after dinner, like, you know how, I don't know if anyone's like this, but after
you're
like
a snacker.
After 8 o'clock, like I just want to eat crap food all the time.
Yeah. Right? I'm like, where's my chocolate? Where's my bag of chips? Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm not even hungry usually. I just want it. And if I'm chilling or whatever I'm doing, I'm chilling. I hate that word. But if I'm just relaxing, I just want a snack. Like, I don't know.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
And oh my gosh.
It's horrible for your metabolism. There's always reasons why you shouldn't do that. Right.
Right. Yes.
So knowing those things, I'm like, okay, well, my own, like just my own desire to not do it's not enough. I need something better. And so what I did that, and I'm not saying this is a spiritual thing, everybody should do this, but whenever I feel that, like those pangs of hunger at those times, and even when you're fasting for a longer period, that's a pointer to Christ, who is our sustainer, who is our portion, who is our daily bread.
So
that's
good.
A pointer to, I want more of Him. It's a reminder to say a prayer, to stir your affections for Him. And so why can't fasting be something that we do still in the modern Christian faith, right? And there's others. I can go on and on.
I mean, and what you're just saying, Ryan, not to cut you off, but with fasting, I think I mean, all of these spiritual disciplines, but what I also encourage people is like, when you're in a relationship and you don't really know what's going on, if you're coming to that place of like, not sure if you have a full peace, if you're just questioning things, these are why these disciplines are so important, because this will be the huge lifeline for you to clear through and figure out discerning if you want to be with this person, right? Like fasting from the situation, fasting from food during those times, even when you're trying to make these decisions and navigate, it can be so transformative and helpful. But we can't just be like, oh, I'm only going to do these spiritual disciplines when I absolutely need it. Like, these should be ingrained into the fabric of our daily lives.
Yes. I want to harp on one chord again, just because I feel like we don't consider this a discipline, but corporate worship and Christian community are also spiritual disciplines.
Yeah.
I think we tend to, especially the younger generations, right? So we're in our mid 30s, you know, on down to like in the early 20s. I think people in that age bracket, tend to think that the local church doesn't have anything to offer them, right? Right. And so they discount corporate worship, they discount Christian community. Now, there's a quote by Donald Whitney here I want to read. He says, in one sense, we can say that all things done in obedience to the Lord, even everyday things at work and at home, are acts of worship, right? We can agree with that. Yeah. But these do not substitute for the directly focused, exclusive of any other kind of activity, biblically based worship of God. And so I think we tend to think so holistically about our faith that we discount the specific discipline of actually being a part of a church community, worshiping corporately. And as a single person, in whether you're single or in a dating relationship, I can't emphasize that enough. Just make that a priority in your life.
Yes.
And do not deviate from it.
So, so good. And it goes back to like, don't be submarining, right? Because if you're submarining, you're not getting that corporate worship in, you're not getting that corporate community. Yes. And it doesn't mean every person under the sun needs to know every detail. I always tell people, they're like, well, I don't want to, I'm a little more private. I'm like, okay, get your core people. Your core people need to have eyes on this. Your core community needs to have eyes on this and be praying with you through these decisions and through navigating it. Yeah, you guys, this is so good. I just feel like we've laid down some amazing foundations today, you guys. I have so many more questions I could ask you, but we are running out of time. Unfortunately, I'm so sad.
A little long-winded.
No, it's incredible. I'm like, this is what we need to hear. So, okay, I want to kind of wrap up. I know you guys will have some things to say on this, but I kind of want to just end. I always end every interview with the same question. I feel like both of you will have such good input on this, but I want to just leave it with, what is your final nugget of dating advice? Whether relating to faith in the conversation today or just in general, what is the final thing you guys have to say for fierce dating?
On top of the Christ-centeredness, on top of all that stuff, I think focus on your friendship, right? Yeah. Build
an
emotional intimacy that is a type of that is your friendship, right? Because that's the thing that will sustain you even to this day. We're going on 16 years married. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love the most about Selena, I love everything about her. I don't want to get slapped.
Oh my gosh.
No, but the thing that I love the most is she's my friend and we laugh together and
you're my favorite person. I still to this day want to spend, if I have a chance to spend time with anybody, it's you.
Yeah.
And that carries you through all of the good, the bad and the ugly of, you know, getting married, having kids, even young kids and the craziness of all of that. And
so I would see your dating time as a time of just cultivating just an awesome friendship and that learn how to have fun together, learn how to laugh together, learn how to get through hard things and cry together, be friends, because when you have kids and they're screaming at 3 a.m. and you are going to rip their,
your only friend is your spouse.
Yeah. You're like, your friendship. You better like them. You better not want to get out of the house from the kids and the husband. You're like, no, okay. At least my best friend is here. We're going to do this together.
Yep, exactly.
So good. And Selena, do you have any other final nuggets that you want to add to that?
No, I agree. Friendship has been one of the key components for us to continue learning about each other, doing adventurous and fun things together. You know, it's kind of in our friendship that we identify some of these core things that we want to continue into our marriage. We want to make memories together. We want to have adventures together. We want to, you know, have babies together and all of these things. And it's been our friendship that's really glued us together and really allowed us to experience all the joy that is to be had there.
Y'all, this is so good. So if people want to connect with you guys, because we do actually, believe it or not, as well, have married people listening to this podcast, even though it's mainly dating. And I feel like the dating people, like I learned so much from your podcast. How can people connect with you? Either Instagram, podcast world, speaking, whatever, the books, like let us know how they can connect with you.
Yeah. We have a podcast just called the Fierce Marriage Podcast. Mm-hmm. You can also go to fiercemarriage.com I think blog posts. We have a lot of resources there. We have a lot of books there. And then you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, just at Fierce Marriage. So yeah, we try to put stuff out daily and, the books are, I'll warn you, we do have some books that are like pursuit books. So they're for married couples. I think they would work for a dating couple.
Yeah.
You'd have to skip a few days,
yeah.
But they're not easy. I'll tell you that. They're not easy.
That's good. These are challenges. We need to be challenged a little more. Yes, everybody go and visit and get these books. You guys are incredible. Thank you for being such inspirations to both all married couples, but also to us dating. Like, you guys are marriage goals. So just thank you for being vulnerable,
you're too kind,
sharing your heart, and just doing what you do. I appreciate it so, so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. It's been a blast.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Hello, truth bombs all over the place, right? I love getting to the basics today with Ryan and Selena as they walked us through why faith is truly so pivotal for us in relationship as Christians. I love that Ryan said, think about it. We asked, how does faith bear weight on our dating life? But the better question to ask is, how doesn't it? This is so, so, so true. Now, here's the thing. If faith is something you guys truly value, don't sacrifice it. You want a beautiful, thriving marriage where you both are striving after Jesus and doing incredible kingdom work. As hard and as weary as it sometimes may get in the dating scene, which I understand, don't give up, friends. Don't sacrifice your most important values. Just don't. Remember that God is more concerned about your dating life than you are. Now, I hope you will go and check out Ryan and Selena's podcast, Fierce Marriage, as well as connect with them on Instagram and their blog as well. I'm just so grateful to have been able to learn from them today, and I hope you guys are as well. I cannot be more thankful for your support of the Heart of Dating podcast. I am blown away by your rankings, reviews, messages, all of it. If you want to be a part of our inner circle and support what we are doing, we encourage you to pledge any dollar amount that you want on our Patreon page at patreon.com/heartofdating. Also, if you like this podcast, would you please consider giving us a review? It helps us immensely, and we cannot thank you more. Until next time, friends.